Everyday carry. It is those everyday items that when you wake up in the morning and before you leave the house, you either place them in your pockets, you put them on your wrist, or you put them in your handbag. And these are the things that you feel are necessary for the day. In fact, you would almost feel naked without them when you went out the house. And many of us, when we do it, we're kind of checking our pockets, make sure we've got it, whether it be a phone or wallet or keys or a watch or whatever else that we've got. And we make certain that we have those things and we carry them with us throughout the day. And the reason we do that is because they each have a purpose. And we know that somewhere in the day, I'm going to have to use those particular items. It's everyday carry. It's what we're accustomed to. It's got a purpose, got utility to it. Well, I was thinking about Christianity and what does it mean to be a Christian? And in today's society, there's a lot of questions as to really what does it mean to be a Christ follower? And I began to think about how could you make it easy to be able to explain to someone what it means to be a follower of Christ? And so there's five words that we are going to call our everyday carry that we take with us. And these are our five words. And it is trust, obey, abide, go, and send. All right? Or share. Excuse me, share. All right. Send's not a bad one. All right. Trust, obey, abide, go, and share. So let's repeat those again. You ready? Trust, obey, abide, go, share. And so everyday carry, this is what we carry. And last week we talked about the word trust, and we put with that salvation. And so for a Christ follower, the very first thing that has to happen, there has to be that trust. It has to be that moment of salvation. And we talked about that what salvation is a deliverance from the penalty and power of sin. Sin is rebellion against a holy God. And so since every one of us has sinned against this holy God, it's caused a separation. And because of that separation, the Bible says there's a penalty for our sin. And it says the penalty is death. And there's a physical death that we'll all die one day. But even scarier, there's a spiritual death that separates us from God while we're here on earth, and then would separate us for eternity. And so when someone says, I need to be saved, it means I need to be delivered from that penalty and power of sin. And God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live that holy, perfect life on earth. And then he went to a cross and was crucified, and he died for our sins. The payment for sin is death. Jesus, he died for our sins. But 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. And when he did, he conquered sin, he conquered death. And just from a visual standpoint, it's like he built a bridge between us and God. And he says, this is the gift I give to you, a gift of salvation. And all you need to do is you need to trust in me, trust in Jesus. That means to rely on him, put your confidence in him. And when you do that and you accept this gift, it is like walking across a bridge. And once you cross that bridge, then you become a part of God's family. In John chapter 1, verse 12, and it says, "Is to many of those who received Jesus, who trusted Jesus, who relied on Jesus, to them he gave the power to become the children of God." And so that's what trust is. And it gets you to where all of a sudden you're a part of God's family. Now, just from our talking standpoint, that means you're saved. Salvation, it's there. I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. But it doesn't just stop there. Because once you make that decision, once you trust Christ, his Holy Spirit comes into your life and begins to make some changes. You don't have to, in your own energy, stir up some things to do different. His Holy Spirit comes in. He convicts you of sin, and he guides you into truth, and he gives you the direction for your life. And so when you think about what does it mean to be a Christ follower, yes, it does mean to trust him, and that is salvation, but then it keeps going further. And those are where the other four words come in. Obey and abide and go and share. And today we want to look at the word obey. And with that word obey, we also want to talk about baptism, what we've had the privilege of just seeing. So obey. Let's look at obedience first. The first thing about obey is that obedience is essential in your relationship with Jesus. Obedience is essential in your relationship with Jesus. You've walked across this bridge. You've been embraced by the Heavenly Father. He says, you're a part of my family. You're a part of God's family. You say, well, then what's the next thing for me to do? It is that you need to obey Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24, Jesus told them, he says, you need to love me just as I love you. And when you do that, then we will, the Father and myself, we will reveal ourselves to you. And they said, well, what do you mean by you'll reveal yourself to us? And this is what he says. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. And my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Very first sentence, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. And he says, listen, if you love me, you will obey my teaching. Well, you obey God because you trust God, and you trust God because you love God. God loved you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. So you embrace him with this love, and then you trust him, and thus then you obey him. And so when we obey him, it means I grow in my faith, I obey God every step, and when I do this, I move from head knowledge to an experiential understanding of who Jesus is. And so that's where obedience comes in. It's not just a, hey, I'm going to walk across the bridge, I'm over here. Now all of a sudden I want to have an experiential relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. And he says, how does that happen? That's where obedience. That's where you look into God's word. You see what God's word has to say. And we obey that. As we obey his word, we get to know him better. And so that comes the second point, and that is that baptism is the first step of obedience following salvation. So stay with me. I trust Christ. As soon as I trust Christ, there's salvation. He said, what do I do next? You need to obey him. Okay, what's the very first thing I need to do? He says, you need to follow him in baptism. Matthew 28, 19 through 20 is called the Great Commission. Now, I wish I could remember these statistics. I had them about a month or so ago, and I turned 65 yesterday, so a lot of things I've already forgotten, okay? It was scary statistics. It was something like only 15-16% of people in Protestant churches even know what the Great Commission is. They don't even know what it is. Well, you are without excuse. This is the Great Commission. Are you ready? It's the last thing that Jesus told his followers. Jesus had died. He'd risen from the dead. He was with them for a number of weeks. And then he goes up to the mountain getting ready to ascend to heaven. And he says, these are my final words. And this is what he says. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Look at that verse for a moment. He says, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he looks at these followers of his and he says, you need to go and disciple all the nations. Spread the gospel to all the nations. Teach them to observe, to obey everything that I have told you. And what you do is when you make a disciple, you need to baptize them. They make a decision of Christ, and then you baptize them. Now, we want to be really clear here. Baptism is not a requirement for salvation. It is the first step of obedience. We had 15 people that we baptized up here, and we had 13 that were baptized over in the student building earlier this month. Each one of those people had already walked across the bridge and become a part of God's family. They were already believers. They were already saved. But then they took that next step of obedience in baptism. So don't ever think that you have to be baptized to be saved. No, it's that first step of obedience. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. It is a grace gift. It is the gift that God has given for us. Once we receive that gift, Jesus has paid it all, then we become a believer. Baptism is just that first step of obedience, okay? So I want to obey him. What do I do? First thing you do, you follow in baptism. And so then what is baptism? Well, we got to see it, so you've got a great picture in your mind of baptism. Let's just talk about it for a little bit because it is important because Jesus told us to do this. His last words to his followers was, you need to go and baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. First of all, look at the requirements. Can anybody be baptized? Here are the requirements. Number one, you must be a believer in Jesus Christ. You must be a believer in Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell, after Jesus had ascended. And Peter and the apostles, it was at Pentecost, stood and he preached a sermon to all these people. And when he preached the gospel, the people's hearts were struck, and they said this. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And in verse 41, it's told, so those who received his word, those who accepted, trusted Christ, they were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So what happens is you must be a believer in Jesus Christ, and then you just take that next step, and that is baptism. Second, it follows your salvation experience. It follows your salvation experience. Baptism always comes after salvation. So what that means is if someone was baptized as an 8-year-old, but then they come back at 15 and they say, you know, I didn't really make a decision for Christ. I made a decision for Christ when I'm 15. So what happened when you were 8? Just got to be straight with you. You just got wet. Because baptism always follows salvation. It's not like a precursor to it. It always follows salvation. And so nowhere do we see someone getting baptized before they make a decision. You make a decision and then you take that step of obedience in baptism. It is this outward sign of this inward regeneration. And so I need to come to faith in Christ first, and then I follow in baptism. So what is the mode of believers' baptism? The mode of believers' baptism is immersion. And we as Southern Baptists believe that immersion, you saw it right here, where you go completely under. And some of you will look at me and say, well, is that always the best way to do it? It is the way God's word says to do it. I just got to be straight with you. When the water is not warm, it's a little scary, okay? I think it was maybe a couple of winters ago when the heater didn't work, and it was the coldest, one of the coldest winters we ever had. We had about 8-10 people lined up for baptism. I got here that morning, and I was greeted with at 7:30 said, "Hey, the water's been sitting cold. The heater element didn't work." Well, how cold is it? And you know, it was maybe like 50 degrees or something. You know, bath water is like 90. And so I just touched it, and I meet with everyone before they get baptized. And we walk through, everything's going to happen. I just had to shoot them straight. I said, "You're going to be more spiritual than probably any other believer in this church when you get baptized." I said, "You got to trust me. I've been doing this a lot of years. The water's flat out cold. It is freezing cold. But hang in there. I will talk fast. I won't tell much of your story. Okay, we'll be okay." And I'll never forget, it started out with a video. And whenever you do a video testimony, you have the person stand in the water. They watch the video, and then they go under. And it was the lady. And I got in the water. I looked at her and said, "Don't even think about it." I said, "You stay right there." And she looked at me. I said, "You'll thank me later." Okay, so sure enough, they finished the video. She walked and she took 2 steps. Her eyes were about this big. I said, "See?" So then she comes in. You know, there's one thing to have someone stand there shivering, but then you kind of put them under the water, and then you lift them back up. And the secret is I wear waders and then have a robe. I was freezing, and I was in waders as I stood there. But my favorite was a little girl. It was a young girl. And so we went, like, this one baptized, this one baptized, this one baptized, this one. And then all of a sudden, there's this young little precious little angel standing there. And she took her first step, and her eyes looked up. I don't think she was going to make it. I mean, I can't imagine doing it. So I reached over, picked her up, and I held her in my arms. And everyone thought I was being a sweet grandfather. No, I'm just keeping her from freezing. And so I'm holding her up. I gave her name. I told what her decision. I said, "Does Jesus live in your heart?" I think she wondered. And she says, "Yes, he does." And then under my breath to myself, I said, "Lord, please forgive me." All right. Then I put her down there, and I said, boom, under, up. Picked her back up, took her back to mom over there. Woo! But it is immersion, whether the water's cold or the water's hot. And in fact, hey, just got to bow up. I was baptized when I was 9, and the water was cold. And the pastor told me, about 30 seconds before I walked in. I'm standing in line, and he said, "Oh, by the way, water's cold." I said, "Okay." So it happens. You say, "Well, why do you do it by immersion?" Here's the reason why. Number one, in the Greek New Testament, the word baptism is a word called baptizo. And so whenever it uses the word baptize, that baptizo is a word that means to dip or immerse, to dip or immerse. It's used in non-Christian literature, and in non-Christian literature, it means to plunge or to sink. It is the standard meaning of the term. Now, the Greek language has words for sprinkle and pour, but they are never used of the word baptism. So in the New Testament, written in the Greek, baptizo means to immerse. Number two, the use of the word baptize indicates immersion. The use of the word baptize indicates immersion. And whenever you see it used in the Bible, like in Mark 1:10, when it talks about Jesus being baptized, it said that he came up out of the water. When John the Baptist was baptizing, it says in John chapter 3, verse 23, it says, John was also baptizing at Aenon near Salim because water was plentiful there and people were coming and being baptized. He chose a place to baptize because there was plentiful water there. In Acts 8:36, there's a story about Philip and an Ethiopian eunuch. Ethiopian eunuch is riding in a chariot going through kind of a deserted area. Philip comes and he looks at him. He says, you look like you're in consternation. He says, yes, I've got a question. I'm reading this scroll here on the book of Isaiah, and he's talking about some suffering servant. I don't understand who that is. Philip began to explain that even 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet was explaining who Jesus was and what he was going to do, and he was going to die for our sins. And after he went through all the explanation, all of a sudden, the Ethiopian eunuch says, see, there's water. Can I be baptized? And it says that they both went down into the water, and then they both came up out of the water. So if all you needed to do was just to pour or sprinkle someone, they could have just taken some water there in the chariot and done it. But he was looking for that body of water. And so it is the use of the word baptism is always used as immersion. So that's why we do that. But the third reason is that immersion best pictures the symbolism of baptism. It best pictures the symbolism of what baptism is all about. And in the video, I was explaining it there as to when you think about the life, death, and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can see that in baptism. And as a person stands there, it's like it represents when Christ came. And then when Christ died, he was buried. But in 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. And then after he was raised from the dead, he then ascended to heaven. Same thing for an individual. When they walk into that water, it represents their life before they accepted Christ. And I said, does Jesus Christ live in your heart today? And they said, yes, he does. And it's just a picture of that moment of when Christ came into their heart. And then when they go under the water, it represents that they've died to their old self. And when you see them raise up out of the water, it's the picture that their sins have been washed away. And the Bible talks about a new creation. And then they walk out of the water with a new life, a life to follow Christ on there. And so it's a beautiful picture as to what happens in the life of an individual. And that's why immersion is so important. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone away, the new has come. And it's a beautiful picture of that. And so that's why we do it by immersion. And so then the last thing is the reasons for baptism. Why do we do it? Well, it follows the example of Jesus Christ. It follows the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 3, went to John the Baptist and said, I'm to be baptized. He said, well, why? I mean, he was perfect. Why would he be baptized? Because what he did was he stood in line with all those other sinners to let them know that he would be standing with them and for them in his life. And then as he got to that time for baptism, it was an example for others. And that is John the Baptist baptized him. And then it said that God spoke and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. It was that I have set that example. And to know that from the very beginning, Jesus stands with sinners and he stands with us right now. And the same Jesus who went to the cross is the same Jesus that stood there with the other sinners, got in the conversation with them, talked about them, kind of found out what was going on in their life. He followed into baptism and he's always loving us and standing with us. And so we follow the example of Jesus. Jesus was baptized. We should be baptized. Whenever someone says, well, I just don't think I need to be baptized, I'm thinking, wow, so it was good enough for Jesus, but not for you. And so he did it. You're not supposed to? No, I want to follow his example. He set that example for us. But second of all, is that we personally identify with the person of Jesus Christ. When we are baptized, we personally identify with the person of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul explains it like this, verses 3 and 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. In coming to salvation, we identify with Christ. We admit that we have this need for the cleansing of sin that only he can give. And we admit that we need his life within us. And so when I stand in that water, I'm identifying with Christ and identifying with my need for Christ. And I understand that I'm a sinner and that only through him can my sins be forgiven. And I go under that water. It reminds me of the fact that he died for me and then he raised up and he raised from the dead for me. And that my sins can only be cleansed by him. So I'm identifying with Jesus and with what he did on there. And then third of all, that you publicly testify that you're following Jesus Christ. You publicly testify that you are following Jesus Christ. During that day, when a person made a decision for Christ, the way you knew it was they would be baptized. It wasn't like an invitation at the end of a church service. It was they were to be baptized. And that was the public testimony of saying, I have made a decision to be a follower of Christ. I have trusted Jesus. Because I've trusted Jesus, I'm stepping into the waters of baptism. They don't save me. I've already been saved. It's just my next step on there. You know, we've heard it's been said that, baptism is a lot like a wedding ring on there. And that is that when you got married, and you make your commitments to each other, and in the midst of that ceremony, there was a ring that was placed on your finger, and that your bride would place it on the ring on the finger of the groom would place one with the bride, and then the pastor announced them that they were pronounced that you're husband and wife, and that you're married, you made it official that you're married, and so you wear that ring, and that ring is like your public testimony that you're married. Now, if you take your ring off, you're still married. It doesn't affect whether you're married or not. You just wear it because it lets the world know that you're married. And what baptism does is it lets the world know that you're a believer in Christ. It is your public demonstration, your public testimony that Jesus has come into your life. And you see, that's why baptism is so special. Because it is that first step of obedience with Jesus. And so when we say, I have trusted Christ, I rely on Christ, I've walked across that bridge, I've been embraced by the Father, then all of a sudden, he looks at us and he says, what's your next step? And you say, I want to obey Christ. And Jesus says, well, first thing is, get baptized, and then we're going to continue this walk, and we're going to talk about what it means to abide in Christ and to do that walk of a disciple. But let's take that first step, and that is baptism. And I'm just keep trying to picture. So what if we sit there and go, no, I don't really want to do that. I'm sorry, what? Jesus died on the cross for your sins, paid the penalty for it, offers you a free gift of salvation. There's nothing you have to do except to receive that gift. And then the first thing he says is, I'd like for you to be baptized. And you go, I just don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Now, I'll do other stuff, but I'm just not going to do that. That just doesn't match. It's that step of obedience that we need to take. And it's a joyful step. And it's not painful. And especially if a pro does it, we can get you in and out. You don't drown or anything. I mean, it's amazing. But it's just that step. It's a step that you want to take. It's almost like going through a wedding ceremony and your wife there puts the ring on your finger in the ceremony. And as soon as the ceremony is over, you take the ring off and stick it in your pocket. So, I don't think I want to wear that. That's what baptism is, first step of obedience. So where are we today? Many of you have made decisions for Christ, and you've taken that next step of obedience in baptism. And that's great. And there's some that here right now, and you say, you know, I've made that decision for Christ. I know I'm a believer, and I know that if I died today, I'd spend eternity in heaven. But, you know, I've never been baptized. You know, Danny, just kind of slipped by, and I've never done that. And, you know, today would be a great day to say, you know what, I want to take that next step and say I want to be baptized. And there's some of you that said, well, in my most honest of honest moments, Danny, I would say that there was a time when I was baptized, but then I realized that I really wasn't saved. And it was only years later that I made that decision for Christ. Now, I'm not talking about that I was saved and then I had an experience where I got a deeper walk with Christ. No, that happens to all of us at times of our life. I'm talking about the one who looks and says, I can look you dead in the eye and say, I was never saved there. It was here is when salvation happened. Not just a recommitment, not just a deeper understanding, but this was it. So do you just hold on to what happened to you those years ago? No. You would then take that next step and say, I've accepted you as Savior. I'm ready to take that step of obedience in baptism. That may be where you are. And yet there may be some of you here that say you've never made a decision for Christ. You've never walked across that bridge. But after seeing these people and hearing God's word, you say, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to make that decision. You could make that decision today. And as you make that decision today, then you would say, I'm willing to take that next step of obedience in baptism. Obey. That's what it is. Now, I don't know where you fall out of all of those, but there is a connection card that you have. Every one of you has one of these. And on this connection card, if you look down where it says, my decision today, there's, I am committing my life to Christ, and then it says, I want to be baptized. Now, you can check any of these boxes of any decision that you may have, but some of you today may say, it may be God's Spirit convicting you, saying, you know what, I need to get that right. I need to get that right. And you can check on your card, I want to be baptized, and we'll contact you and get in touch with you. Some may say, today I really want to accept Christ as Savior. Then I'd encourage you, as you check that, you've got two options. One, I want everyone to do, that's, you'll pass these in just a moment, but the other is you can come down front and after service, talk to us. When service is over, we'll be glad to pray with you. Or just check that box and we'll touch base with you in the next 24 hours and talk to you about what it means to be a follower of Christ. But don't walk out of here not getting that first step of obedience. Because if I want to live the Christian life, and I want to live and have the purpose that God has created me for, then what I would like to do is I'd like to make sure I've got all my steps of obedience lined up. And I want to make sure that I have done what the Lord's asked me to do, and then I want to continue living for Him. And so whatever that may be for you, I encourage you to take that step of obedience. And just one final word, the words obey. And for many, you say, I've made a decision for Christ. I've got the trust down. I've been baptized. I've obeyed there. Take it to that next level. I want to be obedient of all the things that He has commanded me. It's the last thing He told His disciples, teaching them to obey all things that I have taught you. And so may we increase our walk with Him and our commitment to Him to be obedient to the things that God has taught us in His Word. Let me ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the celebration we've had of these lives of those who've received Christ and taken that next step of obedience and baptism. And Lord, when we think about our everyday carry, may we realize that baptism is so important and that we want to be obedient to you and take those steps that publicly let the world know that we are trusting you. So I pray this morning that if there are those that are here who've never received you as Savior in their life, that even today, at this time, they can offer a prayer to you. They can pray and say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus died for my sins. And I ask you to forgive me of those sins, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and to come into my life and to adopt me into your family. And to know through that prayer, Lord, that's like walking across that bridge. And then you joyfully accept them, and place your arms around them, and to know that while they're here on earth, they're your child and can live a life according to your purpose, and that one day, whenever they take that step out of this world, they would then step into eternity with you forever. And we praise you for those who make that decision today. So speak to our hearts, all of us, Lord, and make obedience a part of our everyday carry. Because every day, step by step, we walk with you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.